Well, all right, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. We'll be in verses 9 through 11. So I received a little bit of feedback this week. I know that we've been in John a long time. We're in our second year, I think, in John, going into our second year. We're going to be here for a while. We're in John chapter 12. There's 21 chapters in John, and when I first started preaching here 3 years ago, right after I came on full time, we tackled the book of Romans. We were in Romans 6 months, and we're in our second year of John. And so I don't know what to tell you, except there's been several times where either the calendar or somebody's life just matched up perfectly with what we're studying. But it's gone beyond that. I was in a conversation with a person in the neighborhood next to us. It's the same neighborhood that the Baumans live in. And this person's studying John in their church, and they're in the same chapter we are. And it's just that sort of thing is happening all over the place. And so I really believe that we are where God wants us to be. And so it's, I don't know what to tell you, except every time you come here and you hear the word, ask the Lord what he wants to do in your life through the word that's being preached. Okay? With that, let's stand together and we're going to read John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. It's a short little passage here that we're talking about today. But there's a lot packed into it. In the weeks following the attack on the communal farms near Gaza Strip by Hamas terrorists, the Navy had positioned these guided missile destroyers and other platforms in the Red Sea to defend shipping going in and out of the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. As the American flag had been raised in battle, the flag of our, just like that flag, our flag as Christians is also raised in battle. Like our four deployed naval warships, Christians are in a pitched battle with spiritual forces in high places, according to Ephesians 6:12. Like the captains of those warships, we could choose to drive out of the fray into safer waters, but the whole purpose of a sleek, heavenly armed warship is to sail into harm's way. And that's where Christians are at when we're sharing the gospel with people sometimes. You and I, as standard bearers of the gospel, must never fear this sort of spiritual battle, because we have been equipped for spiritual battle. We should gird up the loins of our minds with the fact that Satan continually seeks to destroy the Christian's witness. Your witness is the foundation from which you spread the gospel. Your witness and you telling people about Jesus happen together. Therefore, the Christian must overcome him by the word of their testimony, no matter the cost. So we see this worked out in our passage in three different ways. The first is the power of the gospel is attractive to those who are hungry for it. It's attractive to those who are hungry for it. Therefore, we proclaim it. You know, I had a person text me earlier this week, and they wanted to hear about the Christian faith. And they were hungry for it. And we're supposed to meet up on Tuesday at 4:30, a couple of people, and I to talk about the Lord. I don't know him from Adam's house cat. And so I'm excited about that visit coming up. But it's attractive to those who are hungry for it. Therefore, we proclaim it. As faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Christians must proclaim the gospel and demonstrate it in their world. You have to proclaim it and you have to demonstrate it. That's hard for some of you because some of you don't have non-Christian friends. And I don't know how you can share the gospel with people who aren't Christians. But anyway, we see this in verse 9a, where the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there and they came to him. Now, that's interesting to me because a couple of chapters ago, Jews, as John calls them, the whole crowd was Jewish, okay? When John talks about Jews, he's talking about a higher level of religiosity, if that's a word, right? That same group of Jews, or portions of that same group, had just tried to stone Jesus a couple of chapters ago. And in the previous chapter, they saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And now these same Jews are beginning to believe in him. So people learn about Jesus as he is proclaimed. I've preached it many times. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Some of you might remember Sheldon Rhodes came here last summer for VBS and he proclaimed the gospel and asked the children if they believed. All week long we heard the gospel begin as through Genesis and all the way to the gospels and Jesus rising again and going into heaven and coming back someday, and that we were to tell people about that. And the children, and he asked the children if they believed that gospel that he was preaching to them, and many of them did. And one even asked to be baptized. Those children saw the message of the gospel move from God creating the world to the fall of man, and finally the arrival of Jesus and his return, and they were so excited to believe in the gospel. You see, people are hungry for the gospel. And sometimes they come to you saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus from you." How has that worked out practically in us? Well, the answer is in a changed life that is seen by those who are hungry for change. Sometimes they see your life different from theirs, and they just want what you have. And you may not even know what you're living out. You may not be aware of it. But it's people that are hungry spiritually see that. And that's because, like Jesus said, out of your bellies flow rivers of living water. But the Jews who went to Bethany seeking Jesus and Lazarus knew very well the empty form of religion they had adhered to, that it did nothing to benefit them. It did nothing to give purpose to their lives. It did nothing to satisfy that hunger that they had. Those Jews, they if you remember from chapter 11, those Jews that had went to see Jesus came from Jerusalem, which is, Bethany is on the southeast corner of the Mount of Olives. So up and over the Mount of Olives and over under the Brook of Kidron and up to that next hill is Jerusalem. And that's where the Jews came from, up and over that hill, about a mile and a half away. But they went to see Jesus because what they had in their own life, their own religious life, was not meeting the need that they had. And we see this in verse 9b. They came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. You see, people believe in Jesus when they see those transformed by him. It's not just Jesus, but the people that are transformed by Jesus that they see. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." You see, the gospel, for those of you who have received Christ by faith, that gospel is written on your heart, and it comes out of you, again, when you don't realize it. I was telling somebody this story from my own testimony about how when I was in Memphis, I was stationed in Memphis for a while, and this is right after I joined the Navy, right after I got out from under my mother's supervision, and I was out on my own. And I promptly backslid, and I was in a bad place. But this guy, I must have witnessed to him at some point, because he drove 200 and some odd 70 miles, I think, but however far it is from Memphis to Huntsville, to find me, to tell me that he had become a Christian. And I'm not bragging about that. I cannot even tell you how low I sunk by that point in my life. It was the Lord who worked through me to, it was the Lord reaching out to this person who was hungry for something that made them receive whatever it is that they received from the Lord. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's the power of God. That's a power that religion doesn't come close to. That's a power that man's religion cannot approximate. That's the power of grace. People who are hungry for God, who are hungry for something different from their lives, are the ones surfing the web looking for a church to visit. How many times have we had people come to this church and you ask them, how did you find out about us? Well, I found you on the web. I Googled it, and that's how I found it. Our church may not be perfect, but our prayer is that people would see us as having been transformed by Christ, even if they don't use that language. They don't know what that means when they come in this door, but you do, don't you? What the unchurched should say about our church, or the religious nuns, as some people call them, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, is that this church is different. Not that our format is different, but that our lives are different. And that difference ought to be real, it ought to be powerful, it ought to be palpable. Those Jews who a few chapters earlier had tried to stone Jesus and were now believing on him did so because of Lazarus, because of the change that happened in him. He was dead in the ground 4 days and it started to smell. And the Lord raised him to new life. People are going to believe in Jesus in your circles because of a transformation in your life. You know that and I know that. And you want to know who else knows it? Satan. And that brings me to my second point. The power of the gospel is hated by Satan, who schemes against it. The power of the gospel working in your life is hated by Satan, and he schemes against you. Therefore, we defend it. When a church is committed to proclaiming the gospel, both from this pulpit, and I promise you this, there's never going to be a Sunday come before you where the gospel is not preached to you. And I know very well that some of you have received Christ as Savior and Lord 6 or 7 years ago. And you might be tired of hearing the gospel all the time. But woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. But it's not only from the pulpit that you hear the gospel, but it ought to be heard in the conversations that you have with other people, particularly your unsaved friends. But you can bet that Satan is going to hinder that. He'll tell you that you don't know enough. He'll tell you that you're not comfortable. Right? Satan will tell you, make sure you check with your comfort zone before you tell somebody about Jesus. I cannot even tell you how much I hate comfort zones. If you love yours, leave it at home. Don't bring it here. But Satan won't stop at anything that destroys the church. But we have to stand against him by the grace of God. Amen? We see this in verse 10. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. Isn't that interesting? You know, the chief priests had tried to silence, or the Pharisees had tried to silence the blind man, who Jesus had restored sight to the blind. And so they kicked him out of the synagogue because they didn't want that message getting to the people in the synagogue. And Lazarus was different. It wasn't that his sight was restored. It was that he was dead in the ground and smelling, and he was restored to life in front of the Jews, in front of the crowd. It was undeniable the power of God. And the only way to defeat it was to kill those changed by it. Lazarus wasn't healing anybody on the Sabbath day like Jesus had been. Lazarus wasn't out there preaching the gospel anywhere. Lazarus wasn't on a street corner on a soapbox. The only time we ever see Lazarus doing anything is laying down. He's either laying down in the tomb or he's laying down on a couch as they're eating. That's it. That's all you ever see him doing. But they wanted to kill him because of who he was. A living epistle. He was a living letter of the power of the grace of God. You see, Satan hates Jesus and he seeks to hinder the spread of the gospel. That's why he comes against you. The hatred Christians experience in this world has nothing to do with them. It has to do with Jesus and the power of the gospel in his name. In Acts 16, Paul goes to Macedonia, and while he was ministering there, this girl with a demon of divination had been yelling, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And Paul cast that demon out. The Bible says, I think, that he was antagonized. He was annoyed by this lady after all this had been going on. And he cast the demon out, along with Silas. And then later, they were thrown in prison for wrecking their economy. You see, that lady was making money for people with that demon of divination. And when Paul and Silas cast that demon out, so went the economy of that town. Can you imagine all of the economy of Dubuque going away because somebody cast out one demon? That pattern has been rinsed and repeated throughout history. The doctrines of the early church were born from the hindering of the gospel by heresies, people who didn't believe what they ought to have believed about Jesus, that he was fully God and fully man at the same time. And thick skins of the early church leaders were developed by persecution as well. Not only heresy, but by persecution. The covenantal theology of this church was realized through the hindering of the gospel by Pharisees in the years following the loss of the temple in AD 70. And the gospel, make no mistake about it, is hindered right here in Dubuque, right here in Grace Point. Sometimes it is hindered internally when we don't live out Christian charity in our own midst, in our own families, inside our own church walls. We look the part when we come to church. We put on our nice clothes. We come and we sing songs and we listen to the preaching. But then how we talk to each other, how we treat one another, and so forth, tells what the true condition of our heart is. And there is a clear hindering of the gospel when we hear day in and day out that the church is dying. Not this church, but all the whole church. The Big C church, the global church. Make no mistake about it, that hindering is driven by Satan's hatred for Jesus. It's not a hatred for you. It's not a hatred for people. It's a hatred for Jesus, a hatred for God. We see this as Satan tries to hinder the gospel by destroying the church. The chief priests, who ought to have been on their knees in worship of God, who had tabernacled among them in the person of Jesus, instead desired to kill him and Lazarus. Priests. They did this to kill Christianity. From the fall throughout redemptive history, the devil has sought to kill the line that produced Jesus. Eve's firstborn was Cain, who became a murderer. The evil of the world that brought about its global execution by the flood, with the exception of Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. Satan had tried to poison the womb of Sarah through Abraham, who pimped her out to Pharaoh and Abimelech. In David's time, Saul sought to kill him. In Solomon's time, or after that, idolatry threatened to bring destruction to the people of God. In the Gospels, Herod tried to kill those babies 2 years and younger because the Magi had come to worship the King of the Jews, which wasn't him. Time after time, destruction hounded the line of Jesus in the flesh. Since his departure and since Pentecost, Satan has sought to destroy the church through persecution, false teaching, and the compromise of its preachers. How many ministers have we lost due to sexual sin? And then there's televangelists who fleece and prey on hapless sheep. May their message be cursed. All these things and more, much more, are examples of Satan trying to hinder the gospel by destroying the church. And it's not just this building. It's not just if you call yourself a member of Grace Point, but you as individuals. Satan desires you to sift you as wheat. But Jesus has prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. But after you've been converted, to go and strengthen those around you, Jesus told Peter. But I'd say hinder because the devil has no real power against the gospel, against the spreading of the kingdom of God. Nebuchadnezzar saw that in his dream in Daniel 2. That dream of a statue of the golden head and the silver chest and the bronze torso and the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay, but then that rock, and this is in Daniel 2, that rock that hit that statue and pulverized it to dust, and that rock became a mountain that filled the whole earth. That's the gospel. That's the church. Please silence your phone. In the end, God wins. But oh, how the church is continually harried and persecuted and threatened with destruction on all sides. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, as he defended the essential truth of the gospel, "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if humanly speaking, I fought with the beasts at Ephesus?" This doesn't sound like an easy Christian life to me. "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, and for tomorrow we die." Paul and others like him in the first century, they fought the same battles as you and I. The Christian life is not an easy one. There's no real difference between Satan trying to destroy the church with compromised ministry or the reputation we have in society today. He's trying to destroy the church through persecution, through heresy, and through pagan reprisal. You know, society doesn't like the fact that Christianity exists. Did you know that according to the Pew Research Center, I think it's 26% of the population of the United States are either atheist or religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S. A quarter of the population of this country don't believe in God. That sounds like the devil's winning, but don't let yourself think that. The good news is that in the end, God wins because his gospel continues to transform lives. People are still hungry for the gospel. I know that to be true. Please silence your phones. The third point I want to make to you is that the power of the gospel is powerful in those transformed by it. Therefore, we live it out. Verse 11 says, "Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus." You see, the power of God is reflected in those transformed by it. Like the moon reflects the light of the sun. Like the man born blind who found himself in the gun sights of the religious leaders, Lazarus was also targeted. What makes these people special? What made the blind man special? Nothing except Jesus. What made Lazarus special? Nothing except Jesus. Were they particularly holy? No. Were they doctrinally sound? No. Were they knowledgeable about Jesus? Well, Lazarus probably was. Jesus spent a lot of time in his home. But there wasn't nothing spectacular about them except they had been transformed by Christ. They were objects of destruction because of their association with Christ. And it's not just their association. If you recall back to John 9, the things that the man was saying was the same thing Jesus said, and he didn't even know Jesus. And the Pharisees' reaction to him was the same as their reaction to Jesus. There was no difference to the Pharisees about this person in their midst than Jesus. When you have been transformed by the gospel, you are going to be just like Jesus, even on your worst day. And that's not because of any goodness on your part, but because just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, you reflect the glory of Jesus Christ when you have been transformed by him. And no amount of religious facade that you put up can equal that light. What was different about these men was the nature of the miracle wrought in their life. Lazarus' life, he'd been dead 4 days. Jewish tradition said that the spirit of a man left the fourth day of death. The spirit would float around, according to the Jews, the spirit would float around this person, and then when the spirit of this person detected decay, they would depart on the fourth day, according to Jewish tradition. Martha told Jesus that by the time he arrived, his brother had begun to stink. A big crowd of people composed of Jews who had been steadfast in their opposition were there questioning the power of the one who gave sight to the blind, but it was undeniable what they saw. All of them witnessed the undeniable power of God who in the person of Jesus raised Lazarus to life. And it's not that they saw that happen. Jesus told them, "You loose him and let him go," because those grave clothes were all wrapped tight around him. He hopped out of that tomb, which is really interesting because I've been in Lazarus' tomb, or the traditional Lazarus tomb, and I had to climb up steps to get out of it. How that man did it, wrapped up in gauze, is beyond me, but Jesus commanded him to do it, and he did it. But then he told those people next to him, "You loose him and let him go." Then in our passage, they come looking for Lazarus again. These people who had loosened him were now looking for him again because of what they heard about him. Do you remember the revivals last year in some of these universities? Anybody remember that? Was it last year or the year before that? how many, there was these in colleges, they were having these just worship experiences, and they would just last for days and days and days, and people would drive all over the country to go visit these. That's what happened here with these people going to see Lazarus raised up from the dead. As people see and hear what God is doing in our church, they will travel to be with us as well. That's, it's not by the droves, not by the thousands, but people hear about us and people see us on the internet. But it's not because of anything that you or I do. It's not how our worship is. It's not what's preached. Or hopefully it has something to do with the gospel being preached. It ought to. But it's because of what God is doing here. God sees us transformed, and people come here because they're hungry for that. I'll begin to close with my last little point here. The power of the gospel transforms those who see it lived out. The Jews who came to Bethany in our passage believed Jesus because of Lazarus. And it wasn't because of what he did, but because of what Jesus did in him. And Jesus said, "Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water," John 7:38. In many ways, it is beyond your control that evidence of a changed life exists. It just happens. I was telling somebody, actually, I already gave you what I told you earlier about my story. It's actually what I meant to close with. So I'll just point you back to that story that I told you about me. If the Lord can do that with me, and I was steadfast, I was just living my own life. I didn't care about what my mother tried to teach me. I went out, I was free, and I did my own thing. And I became really miserable. I was in the lowest part of my life. I thought about killing myself. And I call my mother, and she told me that somebody came looking for me to tell me that they became a Christian because of me. And that was a turning point in my life. And I'm here today, I think, because of what the Lord did through me to help somebody else. And so don't say no to the Lord using you. Don't think because you're at a certain age or you're at a certain place in your life or any other thing, don't let it dissuade you from telling whoever's around you of the love you have for the Lord and what the love the Lord has for you. I was just visiting Miss Alice this week, and she told me that a few days before she had been in a common area at Luther Manor, and she was talking to people about the Lord. If Miss Alice at 104 can do that where she's at, what excuse do you have in not sharing the Lord with the people around you? None. So I encourage you and I challenge you to do that very thing. Amen? Please accept this encouragement from the book of Jude. "Now unto him is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen."